All right, who's next? GMs? Ron? Guess you're in the...
Hello, everyone. Ron Pinchback, interim GM at WPFW. A couple of things I want to say to start off my presentation. First of all, I want to congratulate the work of this board. For the past 48 hours, we've been engaged in a lot of activity, and it's very, very refreshing to see the cooperation and the spirit by which this board has been operating during this particular meeting. And I personally applaud you because I've seen, remember, I've been around for 20 years, and I've seen boards from the Pacifica National Board and how they operate, and this is extremely refreshing. It's extremely, it brings about a sense of confidence that I know it's going to be translated to all of our signal areas, because that's been a serious concern amongst our listeners. I'm sure in the other signal areas, their listeners. I get people who walk up to me in the street and say, well, weren't you guys going through some stuff, you know? And I say, yeah, but those days are over, and we invite you back to the human family. So once again, I applaud you guys for the fine work that you've done so far.
Thank you.
I particularly want to thank our LSB reps, Kalonji, Serena, Ambrose, and Mark, for their very, very fine work on behalf of the WPFW listenership. Not only are they working hard in the PNB, but they're working very, very hard at the local level to make sure and to ensure that the LSB in our signal area has the proper information and the proper motivation to move forward. I also want to thank Jim Brown, our board chair, who could not be here, for his fine work, as well as the other local station board members. The one thing I can say about WPFW is that we do continue to move forward. The local station board, along with management, staff, and volunteers, are literally sharing ideas on how to improve the station. And I use that word sharing very, very carefully, because this is what it's about. Working collectively to evolve WPFW into all it can be. Working committees have been established to utilize the talent, the skills, the wisdom of the many people involved with the station. Efforts are being made to develop effective outreach strategies to encourage greater participation by youth, seniors, immigrant communities, the LGBT community, the prison community, and other marginalized communities. As we endeavor to expand our audience, the success of our outreach is going to be vital to maintaining and strengthening WPFW's position in the Washington metropolitan area, and this is why it's one of our major priorities. Another priority for WPFW is the development of new and sustainable revenue sources. The development staff of the station, the development committee of the LSB are working together, and I use that word together, to create new and exciting methods of generating the much-needed revenue to operate the station. We've all come to realize that relying on pledge drives is no longer enough, as expenditures and responsibilities of the station continue to grow. Web commerce, seeking more grants, revenue-generating events, aggressive pursuit of major donors, more comprehensive and consistent outreach activities, all will contribute to increased revenue for the station. We are also seeking ideas on how to refine the pledge drives when they do occur. We just completed our spring drive, and we did something there that we normally wouldn't do, which means we started the drive in the middle of the week as opposed to on a weekend or on a Monday. And, you know, we learned from that. It was literally picking teeth those first few days. But I'm very, very, very proud of the way our development team came together, our volunteers, our programmers, everybody kind of rolled up their sleeves and said, okay, we're not going to walk away from this until we get the job done. Our goal for this past drive was $450,000. We were supposed to end the drive on a Tuesday. On that Tuesday, we were a little short. So we said, listen, we're going to have to extend this drive by a couple of days because we have to meet that goal. We had had three record-breaking players' drives in a row, and my development director, Tiffany Jordan, refused to go out like that, to put it in her way, you know. So she said, listen, we need to expand this. We need to do this for a few more days. I concurred. The rest of the staff concurred. The volunteer programmers and public affairs hosts literally rolled up their sleeves and made it happen. We made that $450,000. We made $477,000. So we're very, very proud of our team, the entire WPFW team, for making that happen. Well, as I mentioned before, outreach is going to be very, very important. Greater preparation, training for the program host, all of these things are going to be important to how we conduct our players' drives in the future. Doing a better job. We're doing a great job, but we want to do it even better. Can we do it? Yes. Will we do it? Yes. And we'll do it with the help of the LSB, station management, the program staff. We are literally developing collective strategies to accomplish our goals at WPFW. And I say collective strategies. And failure is not an option. One of the other priorities at the station will be to examine itself. During the next few months, WPFW will look at itself from top to bottom. The management structure, the programming, program hosts, the LSB, training, operations. We will also seek the opinions, perceptions, and advice of the listeners by conducting a very comprehensive listener survey. We will do the same for our programmers because their input is just as important as the input of our listeners. We are building a team here at WPFW. We don't want to leave anyone out. Everyone is important at that table. Everyone. We have a strong and vibrant LSB, a competent staff, dedicated volunteers, and a community that respects and appreciates what we do. As manager, I see a tremendous opportunity for growth at WPFW. We will achieve that growth and expansion provided we don't turn our backs on the principles embodied in the Pacifica mission and WPFW's mission. The community we serve deserves and expects nothing less. Are we on the way to that expansion? I think so. One of the charts that Dan didn't show was the 2004 Arbitron rating for the fall. And I'm proud to say that WPFW, for the first time in its history, is reaching over 200,000 people a week. For the first time in its history. And we don't want to stop there. So, yes, there's a lot of things, very positive things happen at WPFW. And I'm very, very proud of everybody involved. Because it's certainly not about Ron Pinchback. It's certainly about all those individuals that make WPFW happen and the community that's been very, very supportive of us. We owe them a lot, and we intend to give them a lot. Thank you.
Okay, we have 10 minutes for questions for Ron. Start with William.
Hi. Thank you for your report.
The tofu man.
Tofu ribs. You got to have something comparable when we get to D.C. in September.
Absolutely. Zarina will make sure of that, believe me.
All right, she's my left-hand woman right here. My question is, you referenced a survey in your report, and that's something that KPFA is looking at doing also. I'm just curious if there's a way that we could streamline what we're looking at as far as surveying. I've talked to a survey firm in the Bay Area, and the reason I say I've talked to a survey firm is because the surveys that have been done in the past often have been done by our listener groups. They've often been done by, I would assume, have been executed by general managers or staff. They've always been by a partial individual. And I think that we need to move away from devising surveys internally and look at putting resources toward doing them externally, because we need to remove our personal biases from these surveys. And we all have different interests. So my question is it something that is being budgeted, or is it something that was going to be devised in-house? And if it's something that you don't have budget for, it's something I'd just like to flag for the larger body as a priority, because we need to have valuable tools that are surveying, especially when our major tool that we use for data is the Arbitrons, and they don't really have a great reflection of the different communities we serve, nor do they even have a reflection of the different ethnic groups that are identified in this country. So that's my question, and I'm hoping that you guys are looking at outside resources for the survey.
Well, right now, we will be generating the survey in-house. We will be more than willing to collaborate with any station that would like to put together a survey of their own. I think the questions that we would ask in Washington, D.C. would be very relevant to the questions that would be asked in Houston, L.A., or New York. Just to get a sense of where our listeners are with us. What they like, what they don't like. Simple stuff. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that, but it must be done.
Okay, Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Ron. What kind of election coverage will you broadcast during this election year, and are you planning to include the Green Party and other third parties in this coverage?
Well, that election coverage is a national project.
Independent.
It is a national project. However, I will say this. As part of our local programming, we will be examining the Green Party and getting perspectives from a local basis on, because we have a very strong, I've got a Green Party candidate that calls up every morning on community comments, so I can't ignore them, But yes, they will be part of that mix. They need to be part of that mix, along with other and any other disparate groups that are out there trying to run for office.
Just a point of clarification. When
yes.
you say you already have the general programming, are you referring to the Larry Binsky Democratic Republican coverage?
No, because if you know, we also have Vern Avery Brown in our house, and we're utilizing her skills to put together some special programming that we will be offering to the network. And we have a program right now called What's at Stake that she's hosting. We literally put that program together just to give our listeners some updates on what's happening in the election, because the national coverage is not ready yet. So our coverage, along with national coverage during these events, is what's going to take place.
Can I invite you to join me on the couch tonight?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes. I'm assuming that's a clean question, so I'm going to say yes.
She invited me 30 minutes ago. Will you make up your mind?
First you and then him.
You guys are
okay.
Nuts.
Mark, you're on.
Any more questions?
Mark. Mark. Mark, then Ray.
I'm on the... Okay. Well, hey, first
Mark.
Of all, thank you very much for the comments, but it won't get you anything at home. I wanted to go back to the question, because we've talked about internet radio and we've also talked about coverage. And I know I asked the LSB what did they want to bring up. And one of the concerns from people in Washington are ways that they can bring some of the programs into the national grid. Did you investigate that procedure while you were here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been that in our talks with Dan and Jim and the other folks about this internet project, we are real enthusiastic about it. Why? Because we do have some programs that we want to see go national that we'd like to get more exposure to. We have some very, very good programs on WPFW that we want the nation to be exposed to. And we understand the fact that every station, you know, has a limited amount of hours, 168 per week. So, you know, there's only so much you can do on the audio grid. But on the internet grid, that gives a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to expose our programs to the national audience and to generate a new audience for our youth, you know, seniors, you know, folks that normally might not listen. Because, you know, let's take Ambrose's show, for example, which comes on 10 o'clock Monday and Friday.
Thank you.
We get requested to hear his program, you know, at hours when these people can listen to it. So by having that program available on the internet stream, it just gives our listeners a tremendous opportunity not only to hear it in the mornings, but to revisit that program later that evening. We're looking forward to that, and we support that 100%.
Okay, we have time for Ray, Henry, Zarina, Allison, Kalonji. Ray.
Hi, thank you for your report. My question is about programming also, and maybe you answered it partially. I know that within the last year, maybe even earlier, there were talks about using Washington's special position, being in the belly of the beast, the capital of the evil empire, and be able to generate news, you know, that will be accessible to you directly about, you know, the national political scene. This is also the center of international diplomacy. What has happened with that project?
The project was supposed to involve, or is supposed to involve, Free Speech Radio News, our local team of reporters, and an international team. The idea is to refine what Free Speech Radio News offers to the listenership. Why? Because it already exists, number one, as a news gathering entity. It does have national exposure. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we are talking with them about refocusing what they do so that they can provide not only WPFW but the other stations with what they need. Like I said, that news coming out of the belly of the beast is very, very important. And hopefully, Verna Avery Brown, once again, who is in D.C. as the national correspondent, will be given the support necessary to create a national program, an ongoing national news presence emanating out of WPFW but going nationally. That project is still on. We're looking forward to that as well.
Henry.
3 months ago, I was inquiring about the possibility for members of the Hispanic community to find a place within the within our station in Washington. I didn't hear any particular situations that can we find a little bit of space so that we can start putting our news. But guess what? Doing outreach, I was able to contact members of the Venezuelan community here in Houston that are in touch with members of the Venezuelan community and Hispanic community over there in Washington. And I took the liberty to offer our station over there so that they can go there, knock at your door, and see the possibility to have a little space, you know, from time to time, to start talking about our issues. And I would like to know if it would be possible. If it would be possible for our brothers and sisters to, you know, to start finding the way to have a little half an hour here, half an hour there. Eventually, here in KPFT, we have open journal once a month. The community can come and have a space. I would like to know if it would be possible to have something like that in W.
It's not only possible; it is imperative. That it happened. We have already begun negotiations, or I shouldn't say negotiations. We've begun talks with some Latino community organizers. We want Latino programming at WPFW. but we want it to be programming that's truly relevant to that community.
Definitely.
Meaning, it will be what I've encouraged. We had our first meeting about 3 weeks ago, and I told them, let's get together. I don't want to hear from one individual from that community. I want to hear from that as many people in that community as possible. I'd like to see a collective mm-hmm. developed to promote that type of programming. It's imperative that we involve that in our listenership. That's one of our weaknesses. I want to turn it into a strength, but I want to turn it into a broad-based strength, not one based on just one programmer. But we have a number of very, very talented Latino people out there who could contribute mightily to what we do. They're going to be at the table. I certainly invite your folks to be at the table.
Thank you.
And by all means, knock on my door, even though I don't have a door. I don't have an office, but I have a table, so you can knock on my table.
Serena.
Okay. Ron, yes. I would like to ask. I have two questions, and I don't think that the answers are going to take 2 minutes, but give me what you can. First question is, if there were space and time on the schedule, what is the criteria that you use to select a program from an individual or group? And the second question is, how have you been able to function in an interim capacity as the program director and general manager, and what are the pluses and minuses?
Good question.
2 minutes, Ron.
Okay. Actually, the criteria for future programming is something that we're literally working on in the program committee. I have taken great pains not to create new programs without that input. We do have some holes in our schedule right now that we need to fill, but I don't want to make a unilateral decision. I think it's improper for the manager to make a unilateral decision on the matters like that. So I'm involved in the program committee to look at our priorities, in terms of, what we actually need on our airways, and that's why I was saying to Henry that greater Latina programming is one of our priorities. It's one of our imperatives. The criteria, it will have to meet the needs of the people that we're trying to serve relating to that program. So that's the answer to that. That's a collective decision, and a collective decision usually is the best decision when it comes to matters like that. Now, as far as me holding down two jobs, I'm going to be blunt. There's only one reason why I've been able to do that. We have a very, very stable, capable, and competent volunteer pool that has been participating with the station for years. It's like inheriting a Super Bowl team. These people are literally quite capable. I don't have to micromanage them. That's very, very important. I give our programmers and our staff a lot of autonomy, and that's very, very important to our success. And that's the reason. If I had to do both jobs and micromanage everybody, then it would be very difficult.
All right, but thank you.
But we got a very, very, very solid staff there, and that's the only reason that's possible.
Alice.
Thank you. I have two, I hope, really brief questions. One is, what plans do you have, or have you done it already, to clean your membership list, both staff and listener membership list? Second question, that refers, of course, to elections and sending out proper mailings. The second question is, you have a development director. We just got one at BAI. I'm curious. I saw the budget for expenses for development for W, where it's about $245,000. Like at BAI, that includes a lot of stuff that's not right. directly development. How much has that person brought in this year so far, and from where?
Grant-wise, I do not have the actual figure on that. In terms of what has been generated, Most of our money has been generated from the players' drives. It's because of the concerted effort of our development director that we've had three record-breaking players' drives in a row.
Does she organize them?
Yes. That's her primary responsibility.
Okay.
To organize our pledge drives. She's been doing that now for several years and with great success. Once again, I give her a lot of autonomy. I listen to my development director and it pays off. So in answer to that, all the money that's generated through the station is generated through our development efforts by which our development director is in charge of. And she's doing an outstanding job. And
does she also manage premiums and volunteers?
Yes.
Alice, we have...
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes, and that's one of the areas that we're working on to reduce our costs there to maximize our return on the dollar.
Could you answer the first question?
The membership list? Yeah.
Oh, and the membership list.
Yeah,
you say clean membership.
Of duplications, et cetera.
Yeah, that's also a function of the development department as well. They worked very, very hard during this past election to ensure people properly got their ballots. Mm-hmm. I know we had problems, just like all the other signal areas in that regard. Some people were left out. Some of it was not our fault.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we are, you know, what's the word? Upgrading our records, making sure that people are entered appropriately, so that we won't have the same mistakes that occurred the last election. We do want all of our listeners to get their ballots. There's nothing more embarrassing than to have a listener call up,
right,
make a pledge, and say, "Well, I never got my ballot." That's not good for anyone.
Yeah.
Okay, Kalanchi, final question for Ron.
It wasn't so much a question, just in relation to the election, the campaign going on. We'll be having coverage of both of the Republican Democratic forums, or whatever you want to call the things they do to make believe they're electing someone. And we're in the process
parties.
Now also understand DC co-op is in the process of getting some more staff to cover the Hill at this time, so we should have pretty good coverage coming out of the...
And what he's referring to about the D.C. Radio Co-op, I have to give them a little plug because they've been doing an outstanding job of providing the station with a fresh core of volunteers to come in, provide news for us, cover stories for us. They're doing a hell of a job with very, very little resources. They're all volunteers. I have to applaud their efforts. It's made a difference at WPFW.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you, folks, very much.